It's good to be together. It's good for family and friends to be in a single room and simply adoring you. This morning, help us to stay on task and help us to stay focused in what you have for us. What's the nugget of truth? What's the takeaway for our life? Lord, I realize that there are folks that came in this room that have lots of different needs as they've arrived. It may be finance, it may be relational, it may be job-oriented, it could be family, or just lots of things. It could be school-related. Lord, we recognize that you're not a vending machine God. It's not that we just spout off requests and expect you to do. But God, we humbly come before you asking you to intervene. Lord, that you would demonstrate your goodness in the midst of each of these needs. And our takeaway, Lord, is that we recognize that you work all things for our good and for your glory. So we're going to trust you in that. We're going to trust you in that today, regardless of what the commotion of the circumstances around it may look like. We trust you. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being interested in the details of life. Thank you for being in control. We love you, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. This morning, we are kicking off a 13-week series. And you're thinking, wow, 13 weeks is a long time. All through the summer, we are going to be going through the Gospel of Mark. Our intent is that we would learn how to live like Jesus. We have taken a selection of 13 different events and stories from the Gospel of Mark and relate it to our context, where we are and what we're going through as we look at how Jesus lived and how we should live. And so together over these next 13 weeks, it's our desire that we would learn to live like Jesus together. We're called to be like him, and the desire is that we'd learn to be like him in different aspects and circumstances and patterns in life. And so that's our challenge throughout the summer as we look at how Jesus lived and what Jesus did. And today we do that. We kick this off specifically in chapter 1, beginning in verse 35. We are looking at an occasion event in Jesus' life. And to kind of give you some background or some thought, it's all about purpose. What we're talking about is purpose and Jesus' unique ability to stay on task and to stay on purpose, to stay on his calling. It's something that's unique that he demonstrates in here, and it's something that we all can learn how to do well in our own pursuit of faith and our own walk with Christ, is that we learn how to live purposefully, living intentionally. And Jesus demonstrates that for us in this passage. But one of the things that I want you to see is that purpose isn't particular to one group of people. In other words, purpose isn't just about folks in their 50s or 70s or 30s. For example, there was a recent study done with millennials and those that are born after 1981. And specific in this group, a third of this group that were in the survey sample were concerned, had fears as to whether or not their life would have meaning. They were concerned whether or not that their life would actually, when the day's done, that they've actually lived with meaning. What's interesting is that statistic isn't only related to millennials, but it's related across the board that there is fear in the lives of many people, concern in the lives of many people, that when it's all said and done, has their life been lived with meaning? Has there been meaning and purpose in why they have lived? And so that's why I think this passage and this part of the story in Mark chapter 1 speaks so well about purpose in our life. There's no doubt that Jesus knew his purpose. Many of you in this room know your purpose. Some still struggle to discern and to discover what that purpose might be. But the reality is that Jesus has a purpose for each of us. Each of us have a purpose. And what I want you to see is how Jesus stays on task with his purpose. So if you have your Bibles, if you turn over to Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 35, Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 35, we read this, "And rising early, early in the morning." How many early risers do we have? Wow, I'm impressed. How many of you just like to sleep in all day? Okay, it's balanced, it's good. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there Jesus prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, Jesus, everyone is looking for you. And he replies to them, let us go to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came. And he went throughout all of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Jesus is in Capernaum. And what's interesting here is what's transpired. As you read in previous verses, that he's had the opportunity to heal a man that was at the synagogue. And then he goes to Peter's mother-in-law, and she is with fever, and he grabs her hand and gets her up, and she's healed. The scripture tells us that when evening came, the entire town came and was at the front door of the house. Now let's imagine that all of Mechanicsville decided to show up at the front door of your house, and they want something from you. It's a lot of people. The Bible says that in through the evening, Jesus healed many and he cast out demons. We don't know how late he worked. We don't know how late into the evening he worked, but we know he's been busy. We know it's been a crazy day. All the day before, he has been busy working, and he's been healing, and he's been engaging in people's lives, and he hasn't stopped. And yet, at some point in time, the crowd departs, people go to sleep. But very early in the morning, he gets up. We're thinking this is close to about a 3 o'clock hour. Now, if you've worked very hard all the day before and into the evening, what are the likelihood of you waking up bright and cheery at 3 a.m.? Most of us would be exhausted and be difficult to rise in the morning. But Jesus wakes up. And he goes out to what they call the deserted place. Sometimes we interpret it as desert. There's not really desert right there where he would have been. So basically what he's done is he's gone out to a place that's still and a place that's quiet and nobody else is there. Why? Because it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And he's quiet. We know that he spent a lot of time there because of the tense that is used and the verbiage that is used here in the Greek. We recognize the fact that it's not just he went out for a few minutes to pray and walk back in, but he was out for an extended period of time. And so extended that the disciples come to find him, and Simon catches up with them and says, hey, Jesus, everybody's looking for you. They're trying to find you. You need to come back. Listen, you are the man in town. Your cool factor and your clout score just went real high. You are the man. You're the guy in town. You're the pop man. This is what I've been hoping for. Man, you got him in just the palm of your hand. And then Jesus shatters every expectation they have by simply saying, we need to go to the other towns. You know why? Because that is why I came, to teach. I find this passage perhaps one of the best passages about knowing your purpose and keeping on your purpose. It's about knowing your purpose and staying on your purpose. Because the setting is this. If we were to put a bowl up here and to start filling it with words and stuff that explain what's happening in the day, when I think about the things that would go and describe what's happening right there at the moment, I think about words like busyness. Man, I mean, Jesus is busy. There's so much going on. There's no stopping. People are all around him, and they want a piece of him. They want a time with him. They want him to heal them. They want to interact with him. And so there's this busyness that's going on, and there's this urgency. Man, there are people waiting, standing in line in order to be with him. And so there's this urgency in which to relate to and to heal. And there's this whole popularity factor. I mean, it's what they've been looking for, at least the disciples, not Jesus. I mean, they're looking for a platform. And yet this platform they've got right here, everybody in town is excited. And there's this expectation that he's going to come back and he's going to do the second act. They had the intermission, but now it's the time for the second act. And so they've got more healing to do and more working to do. And man, they're going to take this town by storm. And Jesus says no. Listen, any logical person would stop and think, man, you've got the great opportunity. You need to stay here. Don't go someplace else. And Jesus says no. What Jesus teaches us here about purpose and about maintaining purpose all comes down to one word, and it's the break. It's the break that Jesus examples. The idea that Jesus takes a break from the commotion and he steps outside of the limelight and out of the busyness to a place that is still and a place that is quiet. He stops. The idea that this break, and here's this thing about breaks. Sometimes we'll interpret breaks as being, oh yeah, well we just went and took a break, grabbed something to eat, kicked back a little bit, had a few Dr. Peppers, and life was good. Maybe Coke's here. Dr. Peppers being in Texas, maybe Coke's here. Pepsi for Glenn, but he's not here. But you know, and maybe we'll kick back and we'll watch some TV, maybe check out a ball game or something like that. No. This is a different kind of break. And what Jesus teaches us in the break, and this is powerful because this is a part of us knowing how to stay on purpose and knowing how to live purposefully in our life. Because when the break comes in the midst of the commotion, and that's huge for us. Because it's not that it's our day off. It's not that it's a week of vacation. It's not that we kick up our feet and relax and catch a ball game or catch a movie. But the idea is there's this intentionality in the break. The break is that he stops in the midst of commotion. And let me tell you what happens. It's when we're in the midst of commotion. I mean, when we're in the midst of busyness that is going on and everything's happening, the urgency and this popularity and the expectations and all these pieces, it's this flurry and whirlwind of activity going on. It's the time we tell ourselves, man, we can't take a break. We can't stop. We can't move. We got to keep on going. We got to keep on trucking. Got to keep on working. But let me tell you, Jesus' examples for us, this is the very time that we need to take the break, is in the midst of the commotion. Because it's when we need to get our head screwed back on straight. It's when we need to figure out, hey, are we on purpose and are we on task with the mission that we've been given? See, I think this is a powerful illustration of when the breaks need to come. The breaks need to come in the midst of the busyness and the urgency. We need to stop. But I'll tell you something else about the breaks that catches me in this passage. And that's the fact that Jesus takes a break when other people are doing something else. Jesus takes a break when other people are doing something else. Now, I'll tell you, I love my sleep. I do. I'm sure I got a couple of sleep warriors in here with me. And I love our house, like the way our room is. Because the first time in all of our married years of life, our bedroom is the coldest room in the house. Amen. It's good. Got your blankets, and even if the room is 10 degrees cooler than the other part of the house, that fan is blowing full speed. Man, I love it. It's nice. I could just stay cocooned all day long almost. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But well, thank you for that. And yet what Jesus does while everybody else is sleeping, he's up. I think this leads us to this great principle. The leader sacrifices the ordinary in order to be available for the extraordinary. That's a huge leadership principle. We sacrifice the ordinary in order to be available for the extraordinary. If you are going to lead, you cannot live like everybody else. And I would say that to our middle school students and our high school students. Guys, many of you all are leaders. And just as I call you, I call our adults and everybody else. That as a leader, our calling is not to run with the pack, but it is to spend time with the Father. Our calling is not to be like everybody else, but it is sometimes to sacrifice the ordinary in order that we would be available for the extraordinary. Jesus could have slept in, but Jesus needed to be with his Father. And so from Jesus, we learn this principle of focused purpose, how to know our purpose and stay focused. And so the question is, what do you think happened? What do you think takes place in that break? What is it that happens? A couple of thoughts that happen in that break that I think that are important. One is that I think the break, this break that comes in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the commotion, in the midst of the urgency, in the midst of the busyness, is a place where we can clear our heads. It's an opportunity to move outside of or away from the things that perhaps would create confusion or perhaps would create distractions and allow us to have the opportunity to clear our minds, to clear the way we think, to leave the distractions behind. Sometimes it's got to be a place way out of town. For Jesus, it was simply a very deserted, quiet place. But it's a place for us to clear our minds. The other piece is that it's a place to listen. It's a place to listen to what God is saying, what God is speaking. The questions are, where do you go to listen to God? Where do you go to listen to Him? When do you hear God's voice? God does speak today. Perhaps it's the reading of Scripture and God places things in your mind. Perhaps it's a listening session, a quiet session as you've completed your praying, that you simply are still and quiet and listening for Him to speak. And He places a burden, a thought, a passion in your mind. And there's something that happens as we mature and grow in our faith, as we mature and grow in our prayer life, that we're able to distinguish the difference between God speaking and our own thoughts entering into our mind. But Jesus listens. He listens to what the Father has to say. He prayed. But the third piece on that is what I call the sync or the alignment. See, I really see this as a time where Jesus syncs or aligns God's purpose, His purpose, with His task and with His walk. And so it's an idea of bringing together that walk and that purpose and making sure that they're together. That's why Jesus comes back to the disciples. I mean, He had a great gig. He had a great thing happening back in town. And this is day for second act and lots of stuff happening. But Jesus' reply is, I've got to go to the next towns. I've got to teach. Do you know you and I probably would, without the break, would probably think, man, I'm going back. Man, I love the busyness and the commotion. Love the popularity, love the expectation, love this, love that. And yet, you know what? We could miss our purpose. Jesus didn't come for that, but He came to teach. And so we see Him moving on. So why the break? Why the break for you, for me? The break is because our lives are busy. There's a lot of commotion. There's a lot of urgency. There's a lot of popular issues of wanting to be in the popular crowd. There are a lot of these expectations and ideas that are coming to play in our life. And so we're mixed in this whirlwind of busyness and craziness and commotion going on. And it's up to us to step outside. We've got to take a moment and take a break and to step outside of the confines of the commotion, of the busyness and the whirlwind. Not just to kick our feet up, but to intentionally ask God, what is His purpose for us? And is our life congruent with His purpose? Is our life in sync with His purpose? It is about breaking for purpose, the purpose that He has for us. What is your purpose? What is your purpose? And then are you fulfilling currently your purpose? Are you fulfilling your purpose? And if yes, man, fantastic. If no, then what steps or actions need to be taken in order for you to live out your purpose? You know, the power of the break is pretty huge. When I think about Jesus as being fully God and fully man, yet the deity and the humanity as we watch them together, if Jesus needed to take a break in order to make sure that he was on task and he was on purpose with the Father's purpose and will for his life, you know what that says to me? We all need to do that too. We all need to do that too. We need to take a break. And in that break, there's this intentionality of where we're stopping. We're outside of the commotion, outside of the whirlwind, outside of the busyness, outside of all of these pieces that consume us in life. And we pull aside. And in that time, we have time away, in other words, to clear our minds and to clear what we're thinking, and times to pray, to listen, not just to tell God what we think, but to listen to what he has for us. And to sink and align our lives with that purpose. God created you for a purpose. He's given you that purpose. And the true fulfillment in life comes in living out the purpose by which God has created us and called us to. Have you gotten so caught up in the craziness, in the busyness, that you've missed it? Have you gotten so caught up in just all the stuff, this whirlwind of life, that maybe you've forgotten about it? Pull away from the commotion. Take an intentional break in the midst of the chaos. Clear your mind. Listen to him. And sink and align your life, his purpose with your purpose, and live. And live. Jesus demonstrates for us the power of break, the power of knowing one's purpose, and the power of living it. Will you pray with me? Father, Lord, for leaders, of which most in this room are, if not all, our desire is to be on task with your purpose. So, Father, help us to live according to your purpose, to live intentionally the purpose you've called us for. And I recognize, God, it's easy to get caught up in all that's happening in life. But call us to the break. Call us to stop in order that we would clear our minds to listen to you, to align our life back with your purpose. That we would live intentionally, live purposely well. Father, thank you. Thank you for the calling and for the purpose that you've instilled in us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, a time of invitation. What is an invitation? It's an opportunity for you to respond to what God is doing personally in your life. My desire would be that everybody in this room would have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That you would be a Christ follower, a Christ disciple. that you would have surrendered your life to Christ and chosen to follow him, that you would believe that Jesus is God's son, they died on the cross for your sins, that he is the one that forgives us and empowers us and gives us life, not only for today, but for forever and ever. If you've never trusted and surrendered your life to Christ, would you do that this morning? And kind of in a bold way, we'll all be standing, singing, I'm going to ask you to come to the front. I'll be here in the front. Simply say, I want to trust Christ today. I want to become a Christ follower today. We want to affirm you in that decision and encourage you as you choose to follow him today. So we're going to ask you to come. Also, God could be speaking to you about being a part of the Cool Spring Fellowship. Perhaps God's speaking to you about being a part of community and being connected. It's what Cool Spring is all about, living connected. And so we encourage you to come this morning. We'll be standing, singing, same thing. I'll be here in the front, ask you to come. And simply to say, today I'm choosing to be a part of the Cool Spring family. We all need community. We all need connection. Community formation happens there. So you come this morning. So would you stand with me as we sing, as Dave leads us and the team sings?